Okay, thanks. Good evening all. Thanks very much for coming and welcome to the Appeals and Review Committee of the 18th of February. Please note that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulation, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Any queries about this, the Democratic Services Officer will be happy to expand. Thank you. Right. Yes. Sorry. We have our... apologies. Anybody missing?
Yes. So, Chair, we've got apologies from Councillor Hashem and Councillor Ranson is here as his substitute.
Thank you. Where are we? Minutes from the previous meeting. I wasn't at the previous meeting, but I have read them. They look fine. Anybody who was at the meeting want to vouch for them?
Yeah, I chaired the meeting.
Oh, you say
yeah,
you're right.
It was it's a fine.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. The questions under the committee procedures.
We haven't had any chair, no.
And disclosure of pecuniary or personal interests. Anybody?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, that's good. Right, so now we get on to the main topic of the evening, which is the Borough of Charnwood, 52 Maplewood Road, Woodhouse East Tree Preservation Order 2018. Could I call upon the Head of Strategic Support or representative to introduce the report, please?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Simon Smith. I'm a solicitor in the employment of the Council. Today we're going to look at the future of a dragon's claw willow at 52 Maplewell Road, Woodhouse Eaves, where a tree preservation order has been placed upon that tree on the 7th of December 2018, and an objection was placed by Mr. Nick Baisley of IBA Associates on the 3rd of January 2019. If you look at your agenda, if you look at your sheet, Annex 2 is the letter from Mr. Baisley, which contains his reasons for objecting to the tree preservation order. Annex 3 starts at page 15. That's a tree report which has been submitted by Mr. Baisley with his objection. Well, I think it's subsequent to his actual objection. But that includes a tree evaluation method for preservation orders at the end of it. It's a standard method of assessing trees, which is used throughout Great Britain, and councils generally rely upon it. I think there will be some disagreement between the council and the tree officer who conducted the tree evaluation method and preservation order. But really, those are the features which the committee really should direct themselves to. And those are basically the amenity of the tree. And by amenity of the tree, I mean what kind of species is it, how old is it, what sort of longevity does it have, what sort of prominence within the neighbourhood might it have, and any other interesting factors which either contribute to or take away from its amenity. What I don't mean by amenity is whether or not it blocks off phone lines, whether or not it blocks off light. All of the matters such as that can be dealt with by applications to do works to a tree, subject to permission to actually do those works in the first place. So that is the case which you have before you today, Chair, Committee, and I believe that the next stage is to hear from Mr. Baisley or his representative, and so I will pass back to you if that's
thank
okay.
you. We'll hear from the NOLA first, the
okay, yes.
Representative of the Head of the Planning
Commission. In the papers from Appendix A, you can see, is it Appendix A? That's actually a sheet going to at PCR. Sorry, yeah, okay, after that, page 24, you will see what is my comments back, basically my rebuttal of the objection. The background to this tree preservation order is that the property was a subject of an extension development application, mm-hmm. which was consented. And during the pending period before the decision was made, there was discussion about the tree. It was understood at that time the tree would be retained and that we would require it to be retained, and it was retained. Subsequent to that, there was a section 211 notice, otherwise known as conservation area notice, to fell the tree.
Yes.
And it was because we received that then, I proceeded to recommend placing it under a provisional tree preservation order. And I carried out the tempo. This is an example of the guidance notes, that's the sheet.
Yes.
So I carried that out. I was confident anyway, without carrying that out, but I carried it out. Because it gained weight. In the past I haven't used tempo, but of course it came up as an issue at one of the Appeals and Reviews Committee meeting, and I therefore, from that point onwards, I've been using it. The tree is unusual. It's not rare, but it is unusual for its type. And actually, this is a book produced by Alan Mitchell through Collins, and he describes this as common in small gardens, but that it is an unusual species. Perhaps if I go through the objection points, would that be useful?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the objection points were that it's outgrown its surroundings. The rationale, if this rationale was applied to protected trees within frontages and highway situations across the borough, indeed the country, you would find that you would be arguing to remove all pollarded trees, because every tree that's pollarded is managed to be smaller than its natural size. So as an argument that it's outgrown its surroundings is a null argument, in my opinion, because the tree is a managed pollard. The other thing, species inappropriate, that again really is about the size of the tree and the fact it's a salix. Normally you would describe those as high water demand trees, but this is a managed pollard and it's a small species within the class of willows, within the genus of willows. So again, and if you were to look at the tempo guidance, you will see that a tree that is managed is described as being within a tree is described as fair, and both my assessment and the FPCR's assessment both rated the tree as fair, satisfactory, suitable in the tempo. They both gave it a 3. And it's not expected to reach its full size potential, is one of the notes related to a fair rated tree. So it's not going to outgrow its surroundings. It's managed. It's a pollard. It's a medium sized tree. It's common in small gardens, according to Alan Mitchell, who's a tree expert. Notwithstanding its relatively small size in relation to the parent species, which is Salix matsudana, he said it is managed as a pollard, and indeed the arborist from FPCR also noted the tree is a managed pollard, and in their report they state, furthermore, that the tree is unlikely to reach its full age or size potential due to prior intervention of this pruning. That's a reference to the pollarding. The statement concurs with my evaluation that the tree, by virtue of pollard management, is mitigated to being suitable to its location. The tree is bounded on two sides by highway. We've got the lane and the road, and by the dwelling on the other side. It's highly unlikely it will ever reach 17 metres. The root volume and spatial restrictions coupled with periodic pollarding will maintain this tree within the lower end of the tree size category, thus mitigates potential issues associated with crown or invasive root spread. Again, the arborist for the objector also concurs with my evaluation there, because they say that the effect of the root volume confinement mitigates unsuitability of the species. The other point was on unremarkable. Now, the tree is fairly unusual due to its wiggly, contorted, twisting stems, and that indeed is more noticeable in winter when the leaves, which by the way are also curled, are shed. The cultivar is noted by Alan Mitchell as a cultivar of a very rare species. And in the Hillier's Designer's Guide for Trees, it's described as an unusual specimen which looks fabulous in winter. The cultivar is often used to provide material for flower arranging enthusiasts because of its unusual contorted stems. The next objection was contribution to amenity, which they described as limited. Now, the tree is important locally in terms of its urban landscape function at this staggered junction. It highlights and marks the junction at the corner of Mill Lane and faces the opposite junction. It counterbalances the birch, also pollarded, and you can see that in the pictures at the back. Yeah. So this is the tree in question, and that's the birch it counterbalances. These are also, you will see there's a number of views that I submitted showing the tree in relation to the junction. I've lost my page now. Sorry. So it's important in terms of its landscape contribution within a conservation area, within the streetscape, and it contributes to what I call the cadence or the rhythm of trees along that street. The tempo conclusion of the objector's consultants agrees with my amenity assessment and retention span and public visibility. So again, that's the first three sections of this form. We are both in agreement on the scoring. The main plank of their objection is to claim that the tree is unsuitable to its location and therefore should not merit a TPO. And as I say, that conclusion is problematic because it is a managed pollard. In their report, the arborist claims the tree would be susceptible to shedding branches even more so when pollarded. But this would only be the case if it was poorly managed or if the programme of pollarding was neglected. They also drew attention to the repeated application works that would be required for tree works and claims that this would be onerous. The TPO regulations specifically allows for tree works which are necessary and appropriate in the interests of good arboricultural practice. It cannot be asserted that this provision of the regulations is onerous. This local authority regularly grants conditional consent for TPO tree works so that tree owners can legally carry out works deemed necessary and appropriate. There is no fee applicable to today in law for these applications, and the council also provides pre-application advice to assist tree owners. My conclusion, therefore, is that the objections are not justified, and I recommend that the Appeal and Review Committee should confirm the TPO.
Thank you very much. Anybody want any points and clarification from?
Can I ask one question of you, Nola? The actual pollarding, what happens if the resident that is the tree is in, the willow's in, neglects to do the pollarding? How do we fare on that?
Well, that's something we cannot oblige. There's nothing in the law that makes the council oblige someone to carry out management of the tree.
So
but it is ultimately their liability if they don't.
So we as a council can actually put an enforcement order for them to do it, can we?
No.
Because
we have
the conservation area.
No, we can't, unless Simon wants to add to
can
this.
You, yes.
It's up to the landowner to manage their tree.
Yes.
And it's already a pollarded tree.
Yes,
and I can confirm from a legal standpoint, you can't enforce a tree preservation order in that positive way. You can only stop people doing unauthorised works to them.
Yes.
That is the whole point of preserving a tree, but one would expect a responsible owner to actually look after a tree in the same way that they would look after anything else in their garden.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just had a quick question. I'm looking up on page 28, I'm looking at the street scene, the Google Street View face on. The tree to the left is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Are there any other TPOs to the trees on that road, Maple Road? Or is this the only one with the...
Offhand, I can't say. I haven't come prepared with that information.
But it is a conservation
area.
But it's a conservation area.
So we generally only kick into action
when there's
an issue with a tree coming out.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Could I just clarify? So essentially what you're saying is, if the tree is properly managed, it's not inappropriate for where it is, and it's perfectly fine in your view.
That's my argument.
And only in the event that it was left to
overgrow,
roam freely.
That was my question.
Would it be that is the circumstance in which it would become perhaps not appropriate for where it is?
Yes, and if you look at any of the trees pollarded in Loughborough throughout the town centre, you will see there's quite a lot of pollarded trees, and if they were neglected they would exponentially grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
But they are pollarded and they are managed by LCC.
And just to clarify one point, the planning application for the extension to the property actually said that they were going to be keeping this tree.
That was what we discussed with them, and that was the intention was originally to retain it, and indeed you can see, let me just double check what page it's on. I thought we had it, didn't we?
I don't think you'll have to use an application.
There it is. On page 38 there is a plan, which was submitted. It is the approved plan for the planting, and it shows the tree retained.
Okay, thank you.
So, we expect it to be retained.
Thank you. Okay, no more further comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Baisley, would you like to present your view, please?
Chair, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. My clients, Mr. and Mrs. Bowden, own number 52 Maple Well Road and the Dragon's Claw willow tree in question.
Mm-hmm.
They were hoping to replace this tree with another of a species which they consider to be more suited to being in close proximity to their house, parked cars and adjoining public footways. The branches of the tree are typically brittle and prone to falling, and the tree has been subject to pollarding previously to stunt its growth for this reason. And this will be an ongoing requirement for the 20 or so further years the tree is expected to live. However, rather than artificially curtailing an otherwise much larger tree, my clients wish to replace it with a more appropriate species which is allowed to grow naturally. They apply to remove the tree under the required notice to fell application, setting out that the tree had outgrown its position and indicating their willingness to replace with another. My client's objections to the TPO are set out in full in my letter before you dated the 3rd of January.
Mm-hmm.
My clients have since engaged the services of a qualified arboriculturist, FPCR, whose opinion is also before you, which Nola has touched on. Most notably, they've carried out a tempo assessment which concludes that the tree in question does not merit a TPO. The primary purpose of the TPO would therefore appear to be to ensure that the tree in whatever form remains for the amenity of the conservation area. However, when granting an extension to my client's property, the council were happy to sanction the removal of an existing roadside hedgerow and its replacement with a mature alternative species, which they considered would preserve the amenity contribution of the existing hedgerow. And that's essentially what our case is now. If we're okay to replace a hedgerow, which is also identified as a feature within the conservation area, with something else, the fact that you're replacing it with a mature species, it's continuing, it's preserving that contribution. So it's just to set out, my clients have no wish to simply remove the tree and not replace it with anything else. As I say, as with the hedgerow, they're happy to replace with a mature species to ensure a continuation of amenity contribution, and we're happy to agree an appropriate replacement species and standard with the council's tree officer. Any replacement species would be of a heavy stock specimen of a far more appropriate species relative to its close proximity to the house, and would, as a new tree not requiring regular artificial pollarding or pruning, contribute for longer and more significantly than the existing tree subject to this TPO application. Any harm to the amenity of the conservation area caused by the removal of the existing tree would therefore be short-lived and ultimately outweighed by the benefits of a more appropriate and longer living replacement. Consequently, the proposed TPO is not justified on this occasion, subject to the council agreeing the species and standard of the proposed replacement tree. No doubt your officers will advise that unless the TPO is confirmed today, my clients could then immediately fell the tree. As I understand it, since the tree is in a conservation area, the existing tree would need to be replaced in any event. However, notwithstanding this, my clients are happy for me to give you their every assurance that the existing tree would not be removed unless and until the council had first confirmed in writing their agreement as regards the species and standard of the replacement tree. I will, of course, be on record with this assurance. If I could just also just add in, just to come back on a couple of Nola's points. One is that the tree is appropriate within its setting. I think what's clear is it's only appropriate subject to management, but that management is not light pruning. This is pollarding, which is significant, and therefore I know that the trees do get pollarded, but it seems to be that the conclusion is that as long as this tree is pollarded, it is maintained in a way that is suitable for its setting, and therefore if we don't pollard it, it's neglect. But I think what we're saying is if for that species, if we are to let that tree grow naturally, it is inappropriate within that setting. It's too close to the house. It would grow into its maturity, and therefore the only way that the council is saying this is fine as a tree, it's absolutely fine, is if it's pollarded, which is artificially managing it. And for me, that is it's not the right tree there, and it seems silly to keep a tree there that is pollarded to keep it at a certain height artificially, rather than look at perhaps replacing it with a species that can grow naturally and contribute better than the existing tree. And then finally, just in terms of onerousness, we're not suggesting that the TPO is onerous in terms of that we wouldn't be able to do the works. It's having to do the works in order to keep the tree manageable. They are having to do an ongoing, they're having to pollard it and to spend significant works on actually doing it. It isn't the process of doing it, it's actually the nature of having to do it to keep it artificially small to make it satisfactory where it is.
If it wasn't pollarded, how big would it grow?
Well, it won't grow to its maximum height because both I and FPCR agree in our respective assessments of the tree that it would not reach an expected full size potential. That's why we both gave it 3 for the top score. I have it in my notes, I think, the potential longevity or height of these trees. The size range for Salix matsudana is 7 to 17 meters. The parent species is 20 to 25 meters. This is a managed medium-sized tree, which is kept small. And on the point of pollarding, if I might add, I have actually included other pictures of pollarded trees. These are trees throughout Charnwood which are pollarded. And if we don't defend a tree that's managed as a pollard in this situation, we place before it and give weight to the argument that these magnificent trees could also be felled because they're managed. And it's just a point I'd like to make.
Sorry,
if I could just come back on that. Okay. I mean, there'll be all sorts of trees that are pollarded for all sorts of reasons. There can't be any precedent or put the council's TPOs at risk, because each TPO will be dealt with on its own basis. And if on this occasion that you agree that we've got a small garden and a tree which if left to be, we'll say unmanaged, if left to grow as it is, as nature intends, it will outgrow its position. I think it would be that wouldn't mean that every single pollarded tree in the borough is under threat.
Thank you.
Forgive me, Mr. Baisley, were you involved with the planning application for the extension at all? This might be an unfair question then, but may I put it to you anyway? Mm-hmm. In the same sheet that the officer talked to me about when we were talking about the retention of the trees, there's a subsection, a little box next to it that's called planting notes, and also another one called landscape design statement. Underneath planting notes, it says, work around existing trees to ensure 1 metre diameter of trunk to be secured with protective fencing, existing tree roots not to be disturbed. And also it then refers to this landscape and planting design is in response to the requirement that the two trees to the front of the property remain. So I would suggest that this council thought at the time that planning application was agreed that these trees were going to remain in place. Now, forgive me, that's I think that's going to be an unfair question to you, but would you like to comment on it at all?
Well, only that I don't know, I wasn't there at the time, but being a planning consultant, I mean, things change.
It was a matter of months. That's the only thing.
Yeah, but you, as I understood it, they wanted the tree. I think an earlier version showed the tree coming out. It's not unheard of or unreasonable for them to accept a condition and then ask for something to be varied. It might have been that they didn't want the issue of the tree to delay the construction works or something like that. But I mean, planning changes all of the time. People concede on a design, and then once they've got there, they'll think, actually, do you know what? It did mean something to us. We'll have another go. They're applying for it the right way. They've done everything the right way. I guess if it's a no, it's a no. But that it is important to them.
Understood. Okay. Thank you very much for your comments.
Yes, I was really intrigued by reading these assessments. It's more of a comment to both of you and question, because in the first three questions, you both all score exactly the same. Mm. Now, then we come to the fourth one, which is other factors. Now, in other factors, Nola scores it 2 points, mm-hmm. which is trees of particularly good form, especially if rare or unusual. Mm-hmm. It's unusual. Mr. Beasley scored it as -1, which is trees with poor form, which is generally unsuitable for their location. Mm-hmm. So there's two different views on this. But it makes a tremendous difference.
It does.
Because when you start then adding them up, question 5, which is the expediency assessment, you only bring that into play if the previous score is more than 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, when it is more than 10, which Nola's was, you add 5 points, which gives you 16.
Mm-hmm.
But with the -1 score that you gave, Mr. Beasley, you add nothing, mm-hmm. which gives us a total score of 8. So they appear to be very, very, a big discrepancy, but in actual fact, they're a very tiny discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final one, the decision guide, 16 is a definitely merits a TPO, mm-hmm. 12 to 15 TPO defensible, and 7 to 11 does not merit a TPO. Well, that's what Mr. Baisley gets. So it really comes down to that one question four that sets the pattern.
I mean, I just point, it's not my score, it's, right, it's the arbitrariness.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I come on to general comments?
Are we Yes, sure.
I'm just looking at page 29, so it's just for members of the committee. I don't know the road, and I'm not sure if anybody else has been there, but it looks that last picture on that slide on page 29, as we look at it, that's a beautiful street scene. Honestly,
yes. That's a lovely road.
Yeah. And
especially
I'm
as you come down.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that if that tree wasn't there, would it make any difference to that street scene? Yes, it would. If that tree wasn't there, it would make a massive difference because it's a featured part. But I'm thinking that if you look at the trees further down the road on Maple Road, they're of less of a substance than that one tree there, and also the trees that are surrounding it are a bit less of a difference. And I'm thinking, if there was a tree there, a different species, would it have less of an impact on that street scene? And I don't think it would, because I think it would blend in with the trees that are further down the road and potentially around it as well in the hedgerow. And based on that, I'd like to make a recommendation that we lift the TPO on the suggestion that we leave with Nola and the applicant for a replacement tree of a similar substance to the trees that are around it to mitigate the impact on the street scene. That's my view. Thank you.
There's a number of points about that. The offer is to plant a smaller tree, which I anticipate they mean wouldn't exceed the height of the roof. Would that be correct? So you will have very less impact. It would be more like a large shrub at that junction. You will not have the same impact with a replacement tree, because that is the size of the tree there, and they're not going to plant one that replicates that size. The other thing is that if you don't confirm the TPO, there is no way, they can promise all they like, but there's no way we can require them to replant.
Okay. Yes, there's also the time from replanting to the visual impact of it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Any further comments?
Can I just ask a quick question? I don't know if you can answer this. Is it the work or the tree itself that's causing the main issue? I didn't really get.
What do you mean the work?
So is it the fact that they have to do... Yeah, so no, the fact that they have to do the work to the tree that's the problem, or is it the tree itself, the falling branches?
Well, it's a combination of the two. Without the work, it's that. It's the what's happening with the tree itself. But then in order to manage or mitigate that, it's the ongoing work to... It's the principle of needing to manage it and keep it artificially small. It's to do that just to make it work. And the whole point of it was that if they can replace it with a species... And when we said a smaller tree, we don't mean a small tree. We just meant one that you know, to let it grow naturally to the right height that is suitable within the plot. It's not about creating planting a shrub at all. It was something that is suitable within the garden that will contribute, that doesn't need to be artificially managed to make it appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
Can I come back on your comment about the residents actually planting this particular species? Surely they knew this problem might have arisen at the time of planting, because willows do have roots.
Oh, they haven't planted. They didn't plant.
They didn't.
Given that they've said that they would plant a tree, any tree is going to need management. So yes. I have to say, I disagree with you, Councillor Mear. This, to me, particularly going downhill towards the village, this tree is an established tree that already creates harmony with the street scene, in my view. It's not something okay, I would imagine we could say to you, right, you've got to spend £20,000 and have a grand new full-grown tree, perhaps, that you need to plant here. But it would still have impact on the telegraph pole and all this kind of stuff. I personally think we ought to keep this tree.
Could I just come back a second? And this is beyond my expertise, so I wouldn't mind, Nola, your view, actually. Two things. One is, the in terms of managing trees, do you know how much it would cost to pollard a tree?
No.
Okay. And the second thing is, could you just explain, just in case anybody doesn't know, because my understanding of pollarding is that you chop it off at a certain height.
That would be a wrong description. Pollarding is normally it's a training. Properly applied, you start pollarding a tree when it's younger, and you form what are called knuckles. Mm-hmm. And those knuckles are the points from which it grows back. And if you look at the additional photographs that I've added to the back from about page 39, well, actually 39 are examples of just chopping a tree indiscriminately.
Right.
So they're not in Charnwood, I hasten to add, they're in Leicester.
That's right.
That's all right. So I think they're in Humberstone, yeah. So they really stood out as bad examples of mismanagement. But if you look at page 40 onwards, you will see examples of pollarded trees, other pollarded trees, other species, large species, not medium species, as we are dealing with in the case at the moment. But these are large species trees, which are pollarded and managed as pollards. And yes, once you pollard a tree, the intention is obviously to keep pollarding it, because it is cyclically maintained. But it's not an annual pruning. It's not that onerous. It's every 5 or 10 years, depending on the cycle you're operating on. Sometimes they're left longer.
Yes.
If they're left too long, then you would describe it as a lapsed pollard.
Isn't the pollarding sometimes done to give you the wood, either for fence posts or for bark weaving?
Pollarding in the countryside of willows and things like that and ash would have been done traditionally for that. Mm. Coppicing is a similar process, but you're cutting it down to the ground and it's sprouting from the base.
Okay.
So again, to produce poles for a variety of reasons.
But all I would say with that is, if we have a look at that, I mean, one of the councillors there has looked at the street scene and looked at the contribution of it. But if we then compare it with the pollarded one on the basis of, well, that's what we're going to need to do to artificially keep it at the right height, then it's going to look like that rather than what it looks like at the moment for a number of years. And therefore, does that contribute the same, as opposed to, you know, if we look at what a planted heavy stock of a species that is growing naturally within a few years will contribute, and by the way, as a new tree will be there for 30, 40, 50 years, as opposed to this tree which doesn't have the same amount of lifespan.
Okay, no more comments. Should we then have a chat around the room?
Just come back on that point, is that possible?
Okay, sure. Yes, I mean, if you look at that picture, that's a whopping big tree in a small frontage, and it's making a fantastic contribution to that. It's a different tree, it's not the tree you're talking about. But it illustrates, if that tree wasn't pollarded, of course it would be probably up to here. The crown would probably be, you know, extend beyond.
Okay.
It's managed. Trees in an urban context are regularly managed to different degrees. Whether it's to give clearance from the building, clearance from wires, clearance from hanging over the road, in which case the highway require 5.2 metres clearance for high-sided vehicles. So trees in the urban context, in frontages, are managed.
Okay, thank you.
All are.
Right, will you come with us to make sure we stay legal?
Yes.
Thank you.